It is time for another edition of What's Going On at the Roost with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American. And this leaves me with a burning question. What's going on out there, Ruth?
Well, let's start in Sharon this morning. last week, the Planning and Zoning Commission received an application for a subdivision down. It stretches from Hospital Hill Road down to Amenia Road through... if you're familiar where the Colgate Mansion is.
Well, yeah, I know that place.
Yeah, this is Gold. It's called Gold Dog LLC. It's really Betsy Jenks Palmer's application for, they're putting in 24, proposing to put in 24 condominium units on that property. So the first step was just to receive this application and... go from there. There are hearings to be held and so forth. But this is a big project for the town, and I'm hearing rumblings, of course, you know, people...
That is interesting because one of the... what do you want to call them? One of the your neighbor, you know, social media that Marshall has subscribed to, there was a thing about 5 days ago talking about rumbling... that there was people need to get involved. There's cluster housing, and I didn't know what it was about, and now you're telling me what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, there.
As ever, and I have absolutely no information about this whatsoever. But as ever, there's already an opinion before.
Well, yeah, I can list you things. Number one is going to be there's going to be more traffic.
Right.
That's an easy one to figure out.
Yep,
yes,
and,
there will.
yes, there's concerns about traffic, concerns about coming out onto Hospital Hill Road. They presented a traffic study which said it would have low impact. Sight lines, of course. Sewer and water has confirmed, the commission has confirmed that it has sufficient capacity for this.
Uh-huh.
Inland Wetlands has given it its okay. Board of Selectmen approved the entrance off Hospital Hill, but this has been rumblings, this has been talked about for quite a few months, or maybe even years, until it's finally become fact.
Yeah. This spans all the way over to 343, right?
Correct.
And
yeah.
are they going to keep that entry exit as well?
No, they're going to have everything coming off Hospital Hill.
That's interesting.
Yeah. By the way, that there's going to be a site walk at 4:00 on February 14th, and then at 5:00 is the hearing. So folks who are interested should. Mark their calendars.
It kind of sounds like they've got all the boxes ticked. So,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, if you comply with the zoning regulations, you're going to have to come up with something pretty impressive to say no.
Yeah. Well,
like a bog turtle.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah.
A rattlesnake, a bog turtle, they'll do.
Yeah, it's about whether or not, you know, again, once again, is it an efficient you know, it depends on who's doing the thinking, the talking, and then you've got... bottom line, is this an efficient project?
Well, you know, does it meet the code? Does it meet the regulations?
Does it meet the regulations? I mean, we went round and round with that on Wake Robin. And
yeah.
All I'm throwing out here, and then I will shut up, is, you know, for 1 second, step back. I mean, I'm happy for anyone to answer this for me. Is it a good project? Is it a good idea? Or is it just that we've ticked the box?
That's subjective.
I don't have... an answer to that question? I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a subjective question, really,
right,
though.
Yeah.
If it's a good idea or not. The idea always is at planning and zoning is, does it meet regulations?
Right. No, I understand that.
And the second,
I'm just asking as a human being,
yeah.
Hey, is this good or not?
That doesn't matter.
But the second one usually falls. This goes to Wake Robin, for example. Now you're into the special permit zone,
mm-hmm.
which allows the commission a lot of latitude to make decisions that you may not like. But, you know, you're no longer meeting the rules. You're trying to exceed
the rules.
Is this the situation? With conditions.
Yeah. And so the planning boards have... total latitude. They can tell you to do just about anything when you're in special permit mode.
Okay.
And we have a special permit going on in Kent as well. Good, talking about that. Good segue.
That's good, yeah.
The Steve Katz and Allison Palmer, and Steve Katz, by the way, was the drummer for Blood, Sweat, and Tears, which I'm sure Jill knows, live here in Kent for 27 years. For 17 years, they have run a pottery place where they bring in people to get lessons and, you know, show how to do that art. Suddenly, they found out they needed, they're on a private association road with 20 homes, and they do this once a year, big exhibit, and so they found out, now they came before zoning, which they hadn't before, need a special permit to operate this and allow for this special, for this exception every year. Well, a new neighbor moved in last year, and when this permit came before him, put in opposition, has raised opposition to this and said, you know, this shouldn't be allowed, the business shouldn't be allowed, it's a private home association, it's a residential area. And so there was a big meeting the other night, and lots of discussion, and the opposition people came in, of course. Steve Katz and Allison Palmer gave a long message and long report as to how it's been going on for all these years, and it hasn't bothered anybody, and the traffic is minimal, and so forth. But what? And then the association president got up and said, "We oppose it because it really could open the door for all kinds of other businesses on that road." And so it was a very interesting meeting. Does it come under zoning? Does it come under the association rules? And so they've decided to table it, but it looks as if Planning and Zoning Commission members, for the most part, did not want to turn it down, saying, you know, home occupations are important, art is important in Kent. And so, as you can imagine, talk about rumblings. The social media is all over this. It's become a topic du jour in Kent this week.
Well, now you mentioned they had to get a. They did this for years. Was there a point in time where they didn't have to have permits for this?
Well, we don't know. I think they probably were under the radar, and they should have had. And I think they realized that because one of the commission members said, "Yeah, you know, we didn't police it. We didn't. It's sort of our fault for not requiring that permit." So yeah, probably they did need it and didn't get it. And now that it's come more formalized, they realize they do need it. And
yeah, the thing that's standing out to me is though using a private road is I don't think there's any real jurisdiction there for the planning and zoning.
Yeah, well, that's the question. Yeah, you know, there's it.
So going back to what Mike was mentioning earlier about there's a lot of latitude when you have a special permit. Can they just turn around and turn a can they just turn around and take a private road and something that has been going on for ages and ages because some new people moved in, like we don't like it?
Well, that's
well,
up to
they have the latitude.
That's up to the association because you're on private property now.
Right.
And you have no jurisdiction in there. And, you know, if they came to the town and petitioned to have the town take over the road, which happens sometimes, that would be different.
Yeah, that's a whole other ballgame.
But,
yeah.
You know, all these people, they own the road, so they can simply say permit or no permit. Give them all the permits you want. We're not letting them use the road.
Well, it sort of looks as if the commissioners, and they polled them all, are leaning towards, you know, a special permit with conditions. Here we go, you know. But I don't know if the association will fight that because it was very interesting. One man who lives on that road said, well, This is I'm retiring this year, and I expect to open another, a business on the road. So there's another one. Does this open it up to have businesses all over this private residential road?
What, do you know the zoning area for that? Is it all residential?
It's residential, yeah.
No commercial, so yeah.
Yeah, this is up. A development called Stone Fences off Route 341 on the way to Warren.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it's an uphill battle as long as they own that road.
it's going to be interesting to follow.
I think the operative word is battle. I do have just a funny thing. Watching just regular Connecticut news the other day, there's another town. It begins with W. It's not Warren. It might be Winchester. They're doing a study about putting speed cameras into the area, like Main Street, and they only interviewed for the show people who wanted it. But they said there does seem to be some opposition. And I thought, well, why don't you just check the Republican Americans? I'm not asking you to look back into the dusty old archives. I mean, they
crazy.
It was thumpingly defeated.
Oh, yeah, to study it. That's the one that always kills me. You know, what is there to study? You know, there's cars on the road. It's a main road. Here's the speed limit. Here's what's around it. Study over. Give me $20,000.
Exactly. And then donate it, please, to Robin Hood Radio.
There you go.
Okay,
that's right.
That goes back to the same old question of an uninformed electorate.
Yeah.
People just don't know what's going on in their own little cocoon.
The question, though, is percentages, and I posit that you have, and this is my personal view, that way more people are informed than the powers that be, shall we say, meaning the big general media, are letting people off.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people, because with everything we have through internet, social media, and there's so many ways that people get informed. Sometimes I think unless it directly impacts you, you don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's very true.
It's all a very self-centered thing when it comes to this.
Well said, right? But it's also self-reflective because people who look at it go, well, people who don't agree with me. And this is new, like in the last 30 years. I just find it really repulsive. But, if you don't agree with me, you must be stupid.
The one thing that always gets me is these studies. we study.
Go study the studies. I'm just.
Literally, sometimes, though, it may sound funny, but I've actually seen that kind of thing happen in towns where they did a study and 6 years later on the same topic, they're going to do another study on.
Well, they put it on a shelf, it gets dusty, and then.
Exactly.
How many thousands of dollars have been spent on. Yeah.
That's the point.
Tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And that's where I was going. Let's get a study going or a feasibility. You name it. It's sort of committee and spend a bunch of money and go around in circles and then 5 years later come back and do it all, rinse and repeat.
Yeah, and then once you get the mechanics set and you get ready to go, well, now we get into this thing of should we get a grant, how many grants should we get, and that's why it takes 9, 10, 15, 20 years to fix a road.
You're wasting time and money, and this was my original transactional question way back when about Sharon. So can somebody just tell me whether it's a good idea? And your answers were fine, so I guess they're going to be I'm talking about the
the condos,
thing. Just somebody tell me if it's sensible.
Sensibility is in the eyes of the beholder. So there, with that said,
all right.
Let's move on to some other topics.
Sticking in Sharon and zoning and the Low Road Project is coming back. That's the one where they want to demolish those two buildings, the Bargain Barn and the one in front, put in to new buildings and pathways and walkways, but it's right up close to that brook, and so Inland Wetlands did deny it or sent it back with concerns, and now they're coming back with another plan. So I'll have to be watching that, seeing what happens.
And when does that go? When is that?
I believe it's next month they meet. I'm not sure. Check it out, the Inland Wetlands.
February.
Yeah. Speaking of subdivisions, we're all over the place with this.
My goodness.
River Woods up in Canaan, as you know, that's the 20-lot subdivision along the Housatonic River off Honey Hill Road. It's been going back and forth. You know, they proposed it. They wanted a text amendment to allow for a longer dead-end road. They got that. And so before that, they said, okay, if we can't have that, we want 33 lots. They got their text amendment. It's back to 20 lots. They had a meeting last Monday, and George Johannesson of Allied Engineering, who is been the spokesperson for this. It's owned, by the way, by Bruce McEver, that property, came in and said, we don't have inland wetlands approval yet, so they could not approve it, and so it's coming back to the meeting next month, which is, again, February something. Second Monday of February is when they meet.
Now, excuse my ignorance. Once it goes there, does it then have to go round the Lazy Susan again, or can it go straight?
No, the commission has waived the second hearing. Remember, he wanted waived, and the commission said yes, and they waived them having to spend more money on fees. Of course, Housatonic Valley Association is an intervener. They said, no, you should have another hearing, so I don't know where that stands at this point. But there's been no... No decision forthcoming. That's still impending.
One moment of commentary. This one sounds like let's make a deal. Unbelievable. We'll see how that turns out.
We'll see how that turns out.
You got anything else in the basket that isn't land use?
Everybody's at land use. Yeah,
this'll
I
be
do.
Ruth's,
I have
Ruth's land use hour.
I have cannabis. We had a meeting.
That's land use.
That's planned something. Kent Planning and Zoning is, looking into it. Every town either has a moratorium. In Canaan, it's been approved. You can have a cannabis retail or growing, cultivating area, but nothing has happened so far. It's the only town in the region I know of that has it, approved it. So Kent has decided, now has this, in the middle of a six-month moratorium, they're deciding what to do. So they held a meeting the other night with a bunch of experts and who gave all this information on. And, of course, they were all pro because they are doing it in other states.
'60s hippies.
say it's, you know, it's the, I mean, they gave all the pros. It doesn't increase use. People who buy it legally are better than those who buy it under the table. They don't abuse it. You can restrict areas, and there are quite a bunch of restrictions. But some of the panelists were interesting. The one gal from Connecticut, Department of Consumer Protection, it comes under, explained that the rules for cannabis retail are different from alcohol, from liquor stores. They actually are followed by the pharmaceutical rules for drugstores. So a lot of interesting information. There is a survey commission has put out hoping to get people's reactions. It can be found online. It can be found at the town hall. And the deadline for answering it is March 31st. So people are encouraged to do that.
That's interesting. Their neighbors in New York, Amenia, are going through this toil. Now, at first they said they didn't want it. Now they got a new board, and they're trying to get it implemented, and it's a struggle back and forth. What's interesting, though, over in New York, just a real quick note on this, they allow people to do like a small farm, like these people do with their mini farms and sell vegetables. They allow people to do that with cannabis in New York State, regardless of what the town has said.
That's interesting you say that, because the one person who came up to speak at this thing, to question, said he wanted to buy plants and sell the plants. He wasn't interested in, he just wanted to sell retail plants, in a tiny little garden.
Yeah.
And just weighing in, and then I think we're going to be out of time, not because I'm weighing in, but because, ideally, if one were allowed to do that privately, one would not have to worry about what anything was sprayed with, or you would basically be getting what you would be looking for in as healthful, you know, as pure a state as possible. And then it wouldn't need to be regulated, right? You
wouldn't have to worry about fentanyl in it.
That's... Yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about anything, you know, just because it's like this. That's what I meant about sensible. But.
Well, there's so many arguments and so many directions on this.
Once again.
And there are people who have good, solid material to back up what they say. There are people who just say stuff because, you know, I mean, I heard someone at a hearing on this say, well, I know people who have overdosed on marijuana. And frankly, from all the information I can find, no one's ever actually overdosed on marijuana.
Yeah, they don't, and they have no, people just don't know what things are sprayed with. And talk about food.
All kinds of stuff, but control
and
all.
Well, but if you don't have regulations to say, you know, even in your own little garden, somebody can come and spray something unknowingly.
That's true.
It's a slippery slope, that whole thing.
The regulation thing. All right, so how are we doing for time, Mike? Are we okay, or are we going to...
Okay, let me just go. There is a... the Planning and Zoning Commission, here we go, in Falls Village will be discussing the application for new owners of the Falls Village Cafe. You know that has closed down. And they're going to consider the operation for another cafe at the town-owned property at 107 Main Street. People are hoping that, you know, gets filled again. And then Kent on Saturday night, getting away from all that, we had the Robbie Burns birthday party, and it was scotch and kilts all over the place. It was a really great evening to forget everything else, forget zoning, forget cannabis, and go out and just dance and have fun.
Or get your cannabis and then go out and dance.
Now.
What a combination for trouble that is.
Yeah, so that was a nice, you know, just a...
All right, and once again, Mike, I keep asking because I have no sense.
You're ready to go ahead and take us out of here.
I'm going to make the statement of the week, which is thank you very much, Ruth. We will talk to you next week. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American on Robin Hood Radio.